It's a Thursday, and it has become, I think fair to say, probably the most anticipated day and most anticipated 45 minutes or so in the St. Louis media market recently, because Dan McLaughlin joins us here in studio on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. What's up?
Hey, great to be with you. I know I look forward to it. I anticipate this. So
you're so genuine.
If like, I do that, then I know everybody else. I do look forward to these visits that we have. I do. Because you come ready with hot takes and prepared for weird stuff at the end that you make me think about. So I like that. That's good.
I've got some stuff I'm working on. And I am going to have theme music for you.
All right, good.
But it's going to be a remix.
Okay, I'm down.
Like, you know
that's
that
song? That's
what
the kids say, they're down.
Like, instead of that song, Who Got the Hooch? I was going to be like, Who Got the Scoops, baby?
You're going to have to dig.
Lauren nixed that. She said no. She said, don't do that.
Because Dan won't like it?
No, just because probably me like singing and remaking a song would not be great for web traffic. But we need to get you a theme song. I'm happy to remix it. Anyone out there who's creative, who has an idea, get at me. You can email me, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. Got an email from Greg. Shout out to Greg. He was asking about the music at the start of my show. That is, the song is called Highway Tune by a band called Greta Van Fleet, who most people associate with sounding like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. It does a little bit. I've always wondered about
your
music.
They're like 20-year-olds from Michigan, and they claim that Zeppelin is not even an influence.
So where did you find them? How'd you find the music?
I found them a handful of years ago, I think just like stumbling through iTunes one day. They were like one of the new bands. Like literally they were three brothers and then like a cousin or a buddy, all 20 years old at the time. And they put out this debut album, and I mean, they're unbelievable. The singer sounds like Robert Plant a little bit, but they're awesome. And I will say that every button has been buttoned up in terms of the appropriate clearance and licensing, everything. But
yes. Let's make sure that
So shout out to Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
But that is the song, and people like every like, couple of weeks, I'll get, you know, I don't want to say thousands of people asking me what the song is at the beginning of the show. I don't want to, you know, pump my own tires, my own audience up too much, but people ask. So, like Greg, you can email me. You can ask us any questions.
Do they know that they're being used to, is that music, you know, do they know that you're using it or not? Or has it gotten to them yet?
Well, I mean, they're like a huge band.
I know that. I mean, you don't need to educate me, baby. I got it.
Short answer, are you kidding? Of course they know.
Okay.
They're flattered.
Of course they are.
And actually reached out to me about your intro remix.
Is that right?
And I'm just, you know, if I have time to get into the lab with them, to get into the studio with them, I will.
Good. I look forward to it.
I love when someone who has no professional entanglement with any type of like media finds themselves, and this will make sense in a minute, in like a editing room, and then puts on Instagram a picture, and they're like, in the lab. Or when one of my buddies who's a 30 handicap is on the driving range, like, back in the lab.
Yeah.
And puts a picture of like,
as he's slicing and
the two divots
it.
That the guy before him made.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I played yesterday, man. This weather's unreal.
Oh, it's awesome. Hopefully you get out and play a little golf. I don't know
hopefully
if I will.
I do.
I don't know if I will, but hopefully you do, because I like to keep the folks here at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com happy mentally and physically. You know, I want them to feel like this is a family, and hopefully you feel that this is a family here.
Yeah, I mean, it's us, it's Greta Van Fleet, it's Greg who emailed, And then, you know, we're taking applications.
Lauren.
Lauren, of course. Yeah. She's in charge of everything. But then we're taking applications to fill out the rest of the reunion.
Right. We have a lot of tentacles, but they're all family.
Big Cat. Barstool Big Cat.
By the way, I don't know if I told you this.
Brian Walton.
Love him. We'll get him out of the dungeon to get some hot takes on the what's going on in the Cardinals minor league. He's awesome. He does such a
good job, man.
in breaking that stuff down. But your boy from Barstool, he retweeted it, and we had about a 30-second crash site. So there's a lot of people that wanted to hear from him. So hopefully you can get him on some more because people really enjoyed it.
Slim possibility, too, that there was just an influx of folks looking for content at that time. And
slim possibility.
Maybe,
I think people really liked to hear from him.
He's amazing. And,
yeah.
And talk about what we're doing. The way that, like, they are one of the models of creating content and getting it to the people that want it as quickly as they can and in a variety of vehicles so that they can look at it on their phone or on their computer or
that's where this
on
is
their
going.
iPad or whatever. Yeah, and that's great, man. Like, even driving around the last couple of weeks, if I think about something for the show or think about something that was on one of your shows, it's great to just have it instantly pop up everywhere, and then I can listen, make a note. I can on my phone clip it or edit a cut and drop it into what I'm doing. It's cool.
Have you seen, I talked about this in my show on 101, have you seen The Defiant Ones yet with Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine?
I have not seen the entire run of it,
which
I need to sit down and binge it.
Yep.
I've caught decent
one of the best
of
documentaries ever, and it actually motivated me to do what we're doing here. It was very important to like have a vision of doing it and then saying, the hell with it, just go for it. You know what I mean? And so with that, it's opened up so many different things. You and I
two guys who
together,
had been successful in the traditional way
for sure
to then take a huge risk.
But even then they were doing things that were taking in the traditional bubble that they were in, taking big risks in how they produced and how they did music and that kind of thing. And then one thing led to another to where now we have, you know, Beats by Dre and Apple Music and the things that we all enjoy. But to see how it all came together and to see how it first started, it's inspiring. It really is to watch that and go, you know what? We live in a great country that you are allowed to have these dreams and try to go for it. And nothing precludes you from doing that. So go for it. So that's kind of what this thing is. I know it's small, but I mean, it's growing exponentially. I mean, we're not even 3 years old, and yet we have a huge base of people that will listen to your show, my show, and you know, I understand that we spread the wealth. Like, for instance, I've got, you know, something on Billiken basketball. Earlier in the week, I had Mizzou football. A lot of people come to me for Cardinal baseball.
Great
I get
chat
it.
With Capper.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you just spread it out, and there's something for everybody. So that's what I kind of like about it.
Speaking of spreading it out, it's a good thing that Dr. Dre made as much money as he did
on
Beats headphones. Have you seen what his ex-wife is asking for?
I think the $800,000 was for per month, by the way. $800,000 a month for entertainment?
Yeah, total. Total.
Was that what
monthly spousal support total? She wants $1.936 million. I think like $150,000 was for like dry cleaning and home cleaning a month.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And shout out to, I won't name them because they're not sponsoring us. Shout out to those coupons I get in the mail. I will clip those things out. $1.99 any garment. I need to start going to Dr. Dre's ex-wife's dry cleaner.
Could you imagine $150,000 for cleaning and dry cleaning?
You must literally get the shirt back with like 10 grand
diamonds tucked
in the front pocket.
Just a couple diamonds up on the collar.
$1.9 million a month is what she wants
it's
in
incredible.
Spousal support.
It's incredible. I don't get it, but
shout out to her.
You know, nice move.
I'm sure there is an attorney with, this is all the same, right? There is an attorney or a group of attorneys with an algorithm who have said based on every case of this level of income and tax bracket and fame, this is what we can ask for, and then this is probably what we'll get.
Where you live, also how much you've made.
It's unbelievable.
And he's worth billions now. So, yeah.
It's just like a baseball front office. They don't pull that number out of thin air. I should have married Dr. Dre and then divorced him.
You wouldn't be at Scoops. I know that.
Speaking of which, it brings us to our first new segment. It's called Hashtag Adorbs. Just let me adore you. It's the only
thing I'll ever do. Hashtag Adorbs. I love it.
Dan, Miley Cyrus responds to a rumor that she unfollowed Kendall Jenner on Instagram after her birthday party. So there's a tweet floating around, and it's suggesting Miley Cyrus unfollowed Kendall Jenner after Kendall Jenner threw a birthday party on Halloween. Miley also allegedly unfollowed Kylie The Weeknd and something called a Saweetie, S-A-W-E-E-T-I-E.
Something, that's a person, right? Not something,
I would imagine that is someone within pop culture.
Let me ask you this. You're hip with the kids. So if you unfollow somebody, I mean, that's a...
Bro, I'm mute.
Hey,
I'm going 30 days, 30 mutes.
I like that. That's like a right hook in the, by Tyson, isn't it? You know, that's
because you want them to know that you unfollowed.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's right to the gut, man. I mean, that's big. You unfollowed you? Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's big.
So
why would she do it, though? Is she upset with something at the party?
Glad you asked, Dan.
There's always something there.
This interstate of information will first take us to Miley's response to the initial tweet accusing her of unfollowing said celebrities. I'm kind of warming to Saweetie. I kind of like that.
Do some digging on Saweetie.
Yeah, I'm gonna
that's my email to you next week. Profile of Saweetie.
That might be your theme music. Okay, so here was Miley's response.
Yeah, what do you got?
Oh, also important to point out that my guy Justin Bieber was there with his wife,
mm-hmm.
Hailey Baldwin. Paris Hilton was there.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, Kendall's 25th birthday. All right, so Miley did all the unfollowing. People on social media were freaking out because there were these people at a party. People weren't wearing masks. Kylie Jenner, for some reason, was walking around carrying a giant corn dog.
Of course you would.
In a Halloween costume. And then here's what Miley said. Do you have some water there or something? You want to take a deep breath?
No, I'm good. I'm ready.
Never, period. Followed, period. Any, period. Of, period. Them, period. To, period. Begin, period. With, comma. Let's stop talking about who I follow on the damn gram. Let's talk about voting. One day to go. Hashtag Biden Harris.
There you go.
So
we're going to talk about that instead of the real worldly issues facing our country. It's just, wow. You talk about self-importance.
Absolutely incredible.
And just a loss of common sense.
Well, and like what snapped her back from angry, who knows what, 1 a.m. tweeting and Instagramming to her followers who are freaking out to then being like, by the way, guys, hashtag Biden. Like, did her publicist say, you know, like 5 million people are going to see this. Let's do a little something.
Leads me to this. Why do people of that level of celebrity, number one, need a publicist? And number two, what does the publicist really do? I don't really understand. I mean, if you're, you know, most of these people that we're talking about here became famous because of what they did to build a brand on their own. So if you're building your brand on your own, now I understand you get to a high level. Now I can see an assistant that's saying, hey, you have to be here. This is your schedule. This is what you have to do. I'm gonna go through the minutia of interviews and people that are reaching out to you. But a publicist is different, and a way that people brand themselves now is with social media, which is done literally at your fingertips. You can do that. So I'm just curious, when people have built themselves up through social media wisely and made a lot of money off it, why do they need a publicist to do that? Where there's other people that do need a publicist because they don't know how to do it through social media.
You would think that if the publicist knew how to do it, they would be the famous person themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
Instead, you should probably call them like a crisis manager. Like the person that calls Miley.
Yeah.
The person whose phone buzzes at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's like Miley's going on a tweet barrage.
That's
about,
Ray Donovan.
I need to watch that.
You need to get Ray Donovan. Ray Donovan is definitely a crisis manager. Although he takes it a little too far because there's, you know, some physical violence in there. I don't think we need to go there.
So Kris Jenner got in the mix.
You're all over this.
Again, this is this segment's called Hashtag Adorbs. Like Dan likes to throw out.
Adorable. Adorbs. Totes adorbs every once in a while.
So Kardashians now being dragged on social media. That's a great term, by the way. Dragged. For hosting these parties in the middle of the pandemic. And Kris's response was, I'm very sensitive to what's going on.
Well, apparently not if you're having parties without masks, right?
Well, she also made a sex tape of her daughter. So I'm like, the mask might... She might think that's just kind of a that's just a formality.
Aren't they pulling their show off of E and doing now everything online? I think that's what they're doing. They're doing everything through Twitter and Instagram and not doing anything.
It's a Halloween costume.
That's a hell of a Halloween costume.
It's a hell of a draw.
Better shade my son's eyes from that. So I think they are pulling their show off of E. And saying now that they built up this empire and that they could get more out of just doing it on social media.
Oh, cut the overhead and the people will still watch.
You know, you get, send out clips. They're getting followed there. They've been built up through.
Well, not by Miley.
That's right. Through the television show. So go ahead and just do it that way.
There's a video of Kendall Jenner trying to blow out the candles on her birthday cake. And a poor waiter with a mask on is like trying to dodge her. Like... blowing all over, well, trying to blow out the candles in the vicinity. It's just a lot wrong with this.
Yep.
And, you know, that's probably part of why so many people notice everything they do is because they do so many things that lead you to say, what in the world?
Personally, I don't get it. Like, I don't follow it. I don't watch it. I read a lot. I knew that they left E. Because I like reading
it's
about
more than I knew.
The TV side of things and where things are going. I find that interesting. So there was a little clip about that. But I don't watch it. I don't follow it. I don't care. But yet people do. So it works.
It's a relatively new phenomenon. It's actually kind of incredible to think about the fact that these handful of shows, I guess it was the Kardashians show, I was a big Laguna Beach / The Hills guy.
Well, The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, you got...
they all started before social media.
Right.
And which is crazy.
What was it, Survival Island or Survivor or whatever that was, remember?
Survivor started in 2000.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But that was part of... I mean, that's...
And that
that's
was huge. That was like a cultural phenomenon for
right.
the first season. I think they've had 97 seasons now.
You've got Real Housewives. You know, that's a part of it. So, I mean, all these things of that type of entertainment is out there. People watch.
It's just crazy that those, like,
now you
that tentacle emerged before social media, and then they kind of found their niche within social media. So I think that's probably part of a big reason the Kardashians have been able to use social media the way they want is because they've been kind of carving the niche as everyone figures out how to use it, and then they're showing up on all these people's phones and computers and whatever who are already watching their show in the first place.
Now, you throw me a little Springer, count me in.
Jerry Springer?
Oh, I loved Springer.
What was the name of his bouncer, the bald guy who then had the spinoff show? Steve Wilkos?
Yep.
Shout out Steve Wilkos.
So I worked...
You were a Springer guy?
Oh, big time. I worked in, you know, obviously a lot in Chicago, and what happens is
tape
that...
it there, right?
Yeah, and so what happens there, Rabes, is the people that work in our crew, many of them are, you know, not full-time employees with a particular show or a team or whatever, so they're crewed out for various events. And one of the guys that was our stage manager,
oh, gosh.
I later found out, and he's the nicest guy in the world, was the judge. Remember the judge that would come out and marry the people? And he'd roll out from the backstage, so they'd have the Springer, you know, people are fighting, and there's a guy, and there's a gal, and then they say, do you guys want to come together and get married? And he was a justice of the peace. He was technically legal. He had gotten his license to do that, to marry people.
So they were actually, the weddings were actually...
Yes, justice of the peace. It's awesome.
Wow, justice of the Hoosiers.
Well, that's one way to put it. It was an interesting character.
Dude, he had a movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? Like,
well, remember he was a mayor at one point in Cincinnati.
Oh yeah, but I mean that thing exploded for like a 2 to 3 year span.
But
Steve Wilko said his own knockoff.
But that, before that, it was Donahue. It was
Maury's
Oprah.
Still rolling.
Maury's still on.
Shout out to Montel. Shout out to Ricky Lake.
Yeah, Montel Williams. You had Ricky Lake. I mean, that was the phenomenon at the time.
Like, how do you?
I think that was the precursor to what we're seeing now. I really do, because that was kind of your, okay, here's real life people doing things that are crazy, and wow, it's on TV, and you're seeing it unfold on your TV.
So what series of events are leading you to, like, really try to get tickets and go sit in the studio audience?
I would have done Letterman. I would have loved to have watched Letterman.
That's not even the, of course.
So,
not, I'm talking about Springer or Maury Povich, or
I would have done Springer for sure. I would have loved it.
You think there are people like tailgating outside, like in the parking lot?
I don't know, man. But I would have done just a bucket list thing. I would have done Springer. I would have done.
You've always been a big Ricky Lake guy.
No, I was never Ricky Lake. No,
Montel.
Montel definitely. Yeah. Montel tickled the interest level for me.
Montel was really. Kind of jack of all trades.
Oh, he was.
Never knew what you were going to get.
No.
Come on.
Springer, though, definitely would have done. I mean, just to take that in, holy smokes. Yeah, that would have been interesting.
What was his name? Montel Williams.
Yeah. Would you have done that, though? Would you have gone and watched and been a participant, not a participant, but in the studio audience?
I don't think so, man.
Why?
First of all, because
just one time, sit down for an hour and a half or whatever it is and watch that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And now I'm thinking of going there in a pre-COVID, pre-mask
right
society. But
on a serious
but
note,
also, I was like in grade school when that stuff was on. If
right.
I was in college watching it with buddies, laughing our asses off, having a couple beers, like we would have thought it was a great idea to go to the show.
So think about my time, and I'm watching these. I'm on the road. You know, I come back from playing golf or working out or something. I'm waiting for the game or go catch a bus. I flip on a TV. That's what was on. Like, you didn't.
That's so good.
You know, MSNBC or CNN or Fox News. You know, you really didn't have that. So you're flipping around like free TV. That's what was on the hotel rooms, you know? So that's what I was watching.
Wow. Montel's Twitter is lit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But listen to this. This is from his Wikipedia page. One of syndication's biggest success stories. Montel Williams presents, they use present tense, a daily discussion of topics skewed mainly toward family and relationship issues in front of a live studio audience, providing his own point of view on the subject while maintaining civility and sidestepping typical tabloid TV sideshow antics.
Oh, yeah, he's not into that at all.
No, he's
you're
going
to get to the truth with Montel.
Steve Harvey's got a show now. And
yeah.
That guy's like one of the hardest working guys in entertainment. He's on like 8 shows and makes like $30 million.
Remember when
a year.
He did the Miss America thing?
Incredible.
Yeah, that was
one of the greatest.
That was unbelievable. I'll tell you the other thing.
One of the best.
You know what I would have
it
loved to have been?
We
hey,
made a mistake.
I've got a. It appears we made a mistake. I would have done anything to go watch Richard Dawson host The Family Feud.
And just sexually harass
well
everyone in his path?
I don't know, man. But back in the day, he was all over it.
Smooth customer.
Yes.
You know what Harvey's got down now? First of all, that show, every single prompt or every single category, everything, has sexual innuendo. And then he gets the answer from, you know, it'll be like, all right, for the steal, name something that you'd never want to see your wife bring into the bedroom when you were trying to go to sleep. And it won't make any sense. Like, the person will be like, I don't know, Steve, a carton of eggs. And he'll just turn and do, like, the one eyebrow up, cock his head, look at
right.
the camera, and the people go bananas.
He's
they
great.
They go bananas. He's so good, man.
Price is Right. I would have done, I would have liked to have been
Barker.
On. Bob Barker was great.
Jimmy Barker, not the biggest Drew Carey guy, but that was always a staple.
Bob was great.
That was a staple.
Happy Gilmore, he was awesome.
Sick TV, When You're Home, Sick TV show. So good in Happy Gilmore.
He was great. Happy Gilmore.
Throwing haymakers.
You know, going back in the day.
Joe Biden's got a little Bob Barker to him.
He does. Let's see. If you could have done Johnny Carson, like seen a just, that would have been fun.
I would love to go to Saturday Night Live and
I would
watch,
too.
Watch it if you're in New York and watch a taping of it. I guess the closest brush that I've had to any of this just, you know, showbiz is my mom. This was a big thing in Chicago when we were growing up. She tried and tried and tried, and we eventually got to go see a taping of Bozo the Clown.
That would be cool.
On WGN.
Really?
And like, oh yeah, all the kids put their ticket in on the way in, and they draw one out for the grand prize game. You get to go, and it's basically like children's beer pong.
Yeah.
You throw the ping pong ball in the buckets on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you get your ticket drawn?
No, I did not. And then they give you a bunch of stuff on the way out, like, and everyone's going home with a pint of Ovaltine. Like,
well,
that was cool.
There was a show here. You may not know it because you're a Chicago native, but it was St. Louis show called DB's
Chris
Delight.
Show. Oh, DB's Delight.
DB's Delight. I had two buddies of mine that got to compete on DB's Delight.
What was the competition?
I don't remember. It was kind of like, I think DB's Delight was like a really child version of Jeopardy, if memory serves correct. Kind of something like that. But they competed in that. I'm sure somebody will email us and tell us what it was, but I should remember right off the top of my head, but you make me think about some things. I like doing these shows with you because you make me think.
We've got an alarm system here at the front of the building, and as I've tried to figure out
it
how
is
to
complicated.
Set it and get out, I feel like it's that show Legends of the Hidden Temple where you're like trying to get out of the temple and then the big creepy guys would like tackle the kid. Who thought that was okay?
So those are some of the things I'd like to do.
Yeah, just
I've never been to a Super Bowl. And I will before it's all
right
said
up
and
there
done.
With Jerry Springer.
So Springer, Super Bowl, give me Springer back in the heyday.
So I was talking with Rick Gaiman on Wednesday, who is just unbelievable, by the way. I'm getting screenshots from listeners who one of them won $4,000, got second place in a DraftKings contest a couple weeks ago using Rick's like algorithm.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Masters next week. And he, you know, writes for Golf Digest. He is on CBS Sports' golf podcast. He has this website, and he's like, dude, I can't even, like, sniff a credential. I think, is the Masters
the
sporting event that regardless of how much coin you're willing to drop, you have to either be incredibly plugged in, but the average person can't say, I'll scalp the ticket, I'll do this, I'll do that. You could do that with the Super Bowl. Is that the most inaccessible event for the average sports fan?
Man, that's a good question. Boy, it's got to be up there.
Dude, my cousin this year was going to the Masters and Wimbledon both.
That would have been canceled. Cool. Yeah, that would have been cool to do. I would say the Masters has got to be because my understanding, and I don't know this.
You can't even buy tickets on the secondary market.
Well, I don't know this as a firm statement, but my understanding, so I could be way off on this, and maybe you can ask him next time you have it on, but have him on. But a lot of people go to the Masters and they do it through like these conglomerates that come in that have like, okay, it's going to be $50,000 and you're going with five different people and we've got the tickets and you're going to be set up. Like we've got it set up for you, but it's going to be
one of those like
exorbitant
touring vacation packages.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's hard, man. And the really cool thing they do now that has opened it up to people is the women's amateur is the week before.
Right. Right.
And I just applied for those tickets and the Masters tickets. And yeah, but you get the tickets. They're still like $50 for a ticket, but you cannot sell them on the secondary market. They're like linked to your name. And if you get caught selling them on the secondary market, like the Masters bans you forever.
Sure. That would be, by the way, speaking of bucket list things, I can't believe there was a time, and maybe you know this too. I think there was a time. And my understanding was there was a media member that said, nope, I have to go catch a flight. But if you were part of the media pool back in the day covering the Masters, they said, okay, here's X amount of people that get to play on
they still do it.
Monday.
They do a lottery.
Yeah, it's a lottery for those that are part of the media pool. And this person turned it down because he said, I have a plane to catch. And I'm thinking to myself, that is as bucket list as it gets, you know how hard it is just to find somebody that is a member or has a connection or whatever. It's a bucket list thing for me. Like, I want to go see the Masters. I want to go see the Kentucky Derby. And for me in my life and where I'm at in my career and trying to raise four kids, number one, schedule's tough. Number two, that's baseball season. And maybe as I get older, if I cut down my schedule at some point, I will do that and say, these are things I want to do. And it'll be based around some events that I want to see. But that would be right up there, man, going to walk the Masters or having some kind of connection to get in and watch it from a neat tent or whatever, but just have the experience of going to the Masters would be, as you, because you and I love golf. I don't get the chance to play it nearly as much as I'd like to. As you know, I've got four kids that play it, and they play constantly. And the local chapter here, the PGA, does a great job with tournaments and things of that nature. They're involved in those things. My wife plays at a high level. We're in. We're all in with golf. So we follow. Like, if you walk in my house, Rabes, outside of the election, which has got election coverage on various networks, because we like to be on, we like to get both sides of it.
A couple of your kids are on one side of the house. They're like, you know, going the CNN route. Right. A couple are going
Fox. You walk
Fox,
in, there's yeah. CNN, there's MSNBC, there's Fox. You know, we're spread out, so we're getting all the levels of what's happening, because I am fascinated by politics and the election. But normally, in a non-election year, you walk in my house 24/7, Golf Channel is on.
One of my buddies, his dad, gets to... We'll see if he listens to this and yells at me for getting something wrong. So he gets to go to the, like, you know, there's like a secret, like, all-inclusive club at Augusta, like, during the tournament.
Really?
And
what do you mean, like, secret? Like, what do they get to do?
Okay, so...
So he's not a member of Augusta, right?
No, no, no. This is during the tournament. It's like a, like, you mentioned one of those tents. Like, we've all been... You and I have been in, like, those tents at a golf tournament that are, like, the all-inclusive
corporate tents, right.
So this, I believe it's only been around for a couple of years, and you go inside, and it is, like, the most exclusive indoor area with a bunch of different restaurants and bars, yes. And they have an 18-hole miniature golf course, but it's not miniature golf. They're replica greens of the 18 greens on Augusta, and this is, you know, you, like, just, like, members can't even get in there. And it's supposed to be really, really cool, and there's a bunch of, like, secret stuff like that that people don't even know about there. It's just, it's insane.
That's cool. I've had in my, I was looking through, as you know, I wear a hat just about every day, and I have probably in my closet.
Breckman's something.
Probably about 60.
Berkman's Place, Google.
Okay, Berkman's Place. I actually will look into that.
B-E-R-C-K.
I have about 60 hats, and I was going through them yesterday. Man, I played some really neat places.
Give me the rundown. Give me your top, like, five or six.
Off the top
of my... And we'll say outside of St. Louis.
I played Oakmont, which was really cool.
I mean, I played Crystal Quarry yesterday, so I don't want to...
Well, Oakmont, Crystal Quarry. Crystal Quarry, we'd love to have you as a sponsor.
Also Oakmont.
Oakmont, if you want to jump on, there's a lot of people there. I think the most interesting place I got to play...
Pebble?
I've been to Pebble. I've not played it. But Seminole down in Florida was really unique experience. That was... Probably so.
Are you Billy's partner on the pro member day?
No, I had another connection. I played with Brady Quinn, the former Notre Dame QB, and we played with him. It was myself, Brady, and one of our producers with the Cardinals, who at that time was also doing a lot of work with golf on Fox. And I guess they had a connection at Fox and got us in, and it was awesome. It was so hard, though, Chris. It was so hard. But it's just the experience of being able to do that. You know, going to Washington, D.C. and playing
Congressional?
Congressional. Oof. That was a neat place. Just those kind of places that you have. And that's when the beauty
that's
of
awesome.
my job, it's been awesome. It's you meet so many people anyway. Many times I want to meet them. A lot of times they want to meet me because I'm their connection to baseball, which is cool. Like John Daly wanted to play golf with me this year, which is I find like weird. But you
he's
know
he's rolling right now, by the way.
Yes,
he's
he
playing
is
so well.
And I hope he plays next year in the Ascension Charity Classic, which I'm sure he will. But that would be a big draw to bring him in. So you know you have a chance to go play these places, and you're like, wow, this is really cool. I mean, it's something I love. It's what a great experience. What a great life. It's awesome.
Man.
That's why I want to let's get this vaccine rolling. All right. Let's see. One domino's down, what side of the fence you're on. The election's going to be over, we think, at some point.
Let's get Miley back following the Kardashians.
Yeah. That's domino number two and domino number three. For God's sakes, let's get a vaccine. Let's get our lives back to normal. We start traveling a little bit. We start, get back to our normal way of life. I'm ready for that. I think I've had enough of COVID.
When are we having our first Scoops office golf outing?
It's going to get a little chilly here probably pretty soon. If we're going to do that, we got to do
so
that pretty
nice
often.
This week.
It's been awesome. Today's going to be awesome. Tomorrow's supposed to be great. Weekend's supposed to be great. This is where I miss. I don't know if you're in the same boat I am, but we had some really cold weather. For this early in the season in the Midwest, I thought it was pretty cold.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, this is where I miss watching a great fall college football setting Saturday. Like Clemson, Notre Dame, that would be a great setting. That's another bucket list thing. I've been to Notre Dame. I've seen the stadium. I have not been in to watch a football Saturday at Notre Dame. I would like to do that.
I've been to a game at Clemson, Death Valley.
I bet that's pretty cool.
They run down the hill.
Yeah. Place goes nuts.
You got time for a quick Thursday list?
Yeah. You know that, baby.
And Miley, we're thinking about you. First subject of
shout out.
Hashtag adorbs.
Okay.
All right. Thursday list today. I love this one. Overused and blatantly untrue sports cliches.
Okay. I've probably used a lot of them.
So
this could be a shot and an indictment on me.
No.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that. I make fun of myself all the time.
Do you ever say, hey, save some of these runs for tomorrow night?
No, I don't. I don't like that one. Now, if I say...
Or that a home run's a rally killer?
I hate that one, too. So if... I've worked with some people that do that, and I don't like that saying because I'm like, really? Keep mashing. Keep scoring. And stop saying that it's going to save runs for tomorrow because tomorrow the guy could just shove it, you know where, with an offense. It takes one good pitcher to do that. So it just drives me nuts.
There's not a run bank where you can deposit excess runs and then withdraw them later.
Now, this is a serious question for you. And you're a guy, I'm a numbers guy. We dive into the numbers and sabermetrics and things of that nature. But run differential. Okay, I've had heated debates about this. I think run differential, there is a place for it if you break down the games properly. But you have to break down the sample size, and it's got to be a long sample size. Like people say, well, we're a weekend, and the run differential is plus 50.
Right.
Well, for three of the games, they scored 40 runs, right? So your run differential is going to be plus a lot. But yet, the other games you got shut out or shut down or whatever. That's where I think it's misleading, and some people go, well, the run differential is this, so they got to be doing this. No, that's not necessarily the case.
I think that really good
teams... Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I think that really good teams over the long run have certain characteristics in common. And it seems very obvious to say that scoring more runs than you're giving up. However, how are you scoring them? I think what's even more important is... How are you creating the opportunities to score runs?
Right, and that's my point.
Because then it can be, you know, misleading. Like, what did Paul DeJong a couple of years ago when he had 30 home runs, only one of them came with guys on base?
Well, and where are you scoring them? Are they at home? Some of these guys
Are they in a handful of blowout games?
That's right. When are you getting them? I mean, there's some guys, if you start really looking at a season, where, and I'm not talking about DeJong, but I'm talking about other players that I've looked at, and I'm serious about this. They have 25 or 30 home runs. And so on the surface, you go, wow, that guy's producing at that spot at this clip, which is great. Don't get me wrong. It's 25, 30 home runs. That's what you want. But then you start breaking down the 25 home runs. Okay, when did they happen?
60 RBIs.
They were happening in the seventh inning of blowout games. So who are they facing? They're facing mop-up guys. Were they happening, though, in seventh inning or later in crunch times? Now that's different. So you really got to dive into sometimes the numbers. I really believe that. And the numbers,
100%.
You know, the numbers are there to tell a story, and I think that they can back you up for a lot of arguments and a lot of points to be made. But man, you got to dive into what they truly mean. And Kevin Cash is unfortunately finding that out probably harder than most right now in this offseason.
Got another one for you.
Yes, sir.
Defense wins championships. Well, I think a lot. You can't have a Cardinals of 2 years ago would beg to differ.
Well,
good teams win championships. You need a lot of good things happening.
I'm gonna step back on that one.
Like the '85 Bears had a they had one of the best offensive players in the history of the NFL.
Walter Payton, the Fridge, Willie Gault.
I can't believe the Fridge got the damn
Jim McMahon
touchdown instead of Payton.
People are still upset about that.
But it's not the old-timey 1960s 3-0 Steelers teams.
Right.
I get
Jack Lambert taking
your
head off.
Of course, you need a good defense to win a championship. You also need a good offense or a good pitching rotation or
a good bench.
I'm
going to go after myself here. You can't have enough pitching.
I don't think it's a cliche, though, because everyone gets Tommy John now.
Cardinals are going to face that with Dakota Hudson. Can't. So that's my point for next year with the team is, and I don't know if you agree with this, but let me just throw this at you.
That you can't have enough pitching?
Well, to that point, okay, so look at how the Tampa Bay Rays got through a lot of their season and then really break down their postseason. They really didn't hit that much. Now, people are saying, now, how can you say that?
Oh, yeah.
Randy Arozarena hit a bunch. They were hitting 178 as a team. That's batting average.
Situationally, we're not good.
And occasionally they had a guy, Zunino or somebody, pop them a home run. That would win them a game. Starter go two times through, and then they threw arm after arm after arm, arm after arm at you. So when I look at the Cardinals in 2021, I'm saying, what do they need? They need offense. That's clear. I mean, they were at the bottom of slugging, bottom of runs. You know, they got to get better, clearly. That's why they don't have Colton Wong coming back. One of the reasons is love his defense. It's Chancy to let him go. It's $11.5 million off the books, so you get payroll flexibility. But 675 OPS, that wasn't going to cut it. They said, okay, look at how these teams are winning in the postseason. They're striking out a ton, but boy, do they mash. So then on the flip side, what do you need? You better have pitching. And that's where the Cardinals, if you look at the depth in their pitching, they're going to be all right next year. They're going to be better, I think, than what some people are looking at because of their deficiencies at the plate. But yet, when they score 4 more runs, which they will at some point next year, different times, maybe a struggle, but they're going to win games because they pitch. And that's even minus Dakota Hudson, maybe minus Adam Wainwright. Who knows? Do you agree with that assessment or not?
100%. And that goes back to what I said. It's easier to score 4 more runs when you hit a bunch of home runs versus a bunch of singles.
And that's what the point – they got on base this last year. They didn't score. So what are you going to do? You're going to find guys that hit the ball hard. You're going to look at – now diving into sabermetric numbers. You're going to look at exit velocity. So a guy may strike out a ton, could be Tyler O'Neill, but he's going to walk into some home runs, and that is the way the game is played now. Right or wrong, boring or not, that's how it's played. That's how it's played. I don't necessarily like it, but that's the way the game is played now. So the trend is find guys that can mash. Find it. And if we're deficient defensively, then so be it.
It is a Thursday list. I've got a couple more for you. How about he's got the big
the size you come up with these good ones. I
size
like it.
Of his heart won't show up on a stat sheet. That means he's not very good. He's scrappy.
Probably not very good. He's out there battling. He's a battler.
It's like me. I'm a great glue guy. I'm great in the room.
Hey, he's willing to go into the deep areas and pay the price.
Hockey's great.
There's a lot of cliches.
Greasy goals.
Pay the price.
Hard areas.
Got to go in the hard areas.
Get pucks deep.
Yep. Got to get that puck deep.
Okay. He just wanted it a little bit more.
Yeah, like the other guy just said, well, I'm going to give up that 10% because I don't want it. He wants it more. It's kind of like thinking about a marathon and saying, well, that guy just wanted it more. No, the other guy just collapsed. He gave everything he had. Yeah. It was just, collapsed.
I promise he was trying.
Yeah.
I promise he was trying. All right, I'll throw one more at you. And again, please tweet us your sports cliches or things that are just essentially factually wrong. Tweet me, tweet Dan. Gotten some good ones. We had some good things that happen in sports movies and TV shows that don't actually happen in real life. We're playing this one for Coach. This one's personal.
This one's personal. We're doing it for Coach. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I really am not. Now, I do think there is something to this. Say that is a star player gets hurt or a coach stood up for his team and is, let's say, suspended, and you're in a series.
There's always a little bump when a coach gets fired.
So you're taking on the same team. So there's a little bit of the residual effect of being upset. You're fired up, and you are doing something a little bit for your coach. So I do think there's something to that. I do think there is something to, at times, players playing. There's just the little bump you get if you don't have that one-star player. You got hurt or whatever, and now you got to take that team on again. And let's say you got hurt with a bad hit or something of that nature. I think there's something to that, especially like in hockey. Like, I'll give you this. Claude Lemieux, okay, with the old Detroit.
Just a scumbag.
Absolute
just a pest.
Scumbag, pest, everything you want. But it was the Avalanche and the Red Wings. Now, you look back at that, guys wanted to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
If you're
Until
a
he's
Wing,
on your team.
If you're a Red Wing, you wanted to kill him. And I remember it was Chris Draper, I think. No, who was it? Chris Draper got the hit on him, and his whole side of his face was swollen and stitched up, and it was a nasty hit along the boards, and the board was open. And I can't remember who it was that said, I can't believe I shook that freaking guy's hand. They were doing the handshake at the for the NHL playoffs.
Didn't they get in a fight at the alumni game a couple years ago?
I'm not sure if they did.
The Centennial Classic?
I'm not sure. Probably. I'm not sure if they did, but, I mean, guys hated him.
Dude, I swear, I'm Googling it right now. It was Chris Draper.
Draper got hit. I remember that.
And Draper mixed it up a little bit. It was Chris Draper and Gary Roberts.
But, I mean, that was awesome.
I can't believe I should.
Back in the mid-late 90s, that rivalry was as good as it gets in sports and certainly in hockey. It was awesome.
He's the first one in the building and the last one out.
Ryan O'Reilly.
Dude, that's like a checklist on like your media to do at the start of a hockey season. You need to tweet out the picture from like 130 yards away of like a blurry Ryan O'Reilly, like still out here after practice stick handling.
Yeah.
Well, it's his job.
Right. That's kind of what makes him
your
Ryan
job
O'Reilly.
Is to go find something better to do than take that picture.
Please, you would think.
Please go find something better to do.
I love doing these, man. This is fun. Yes, and you're doing great. A great job. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Give us your sports cliches. You can tweet Dan, tweet me, email me, Chris at scoopswithdannymac.com.
I had a lot of feedback on your interview with the folks at Barstool. A lot of feedback from Jack Flaherty, The Cat, Jim Hayes, Martin Kilcoyne. So it's been great, man. Love it. See, you're different than I am. I'm kind of like just the nuts and bolts guy. I get people on. It's just boom, 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 boom. You bring this personality, a different look at sports, which is what I wanted. And it's awesome.
It's fun, man.
It's great that we work together. I really wanted to do that at other spots that we were at, so now we're getting to do it whenever we want, which is great.
Man, well, let's throw a couple of these extra takes in the fridge. They'll keep until next week. And
I'm putting it a different way.
It's a take potluck.
No, I got something different for you. I don't want them in the fridge because they cool off. I got them in the crock pot. Put them in the crock pot. Let them simmer. Let him get a little age on him.
We're gonna get props in here.
Speaking of crock pot, I remember there was like I can't remember where
it's
we went.
An age. It's like 60 days dry rubbed takes down in our steak cellar. Yeah,
let's put a little dry rub.
It's like you're at Luger's. Yeah,
get some ribs. Put a little dry rub. Let them sit overnight, and then we'll put them on the hot stove.
This is an $80 steak take. Dry rub for 60 days.
I do know this. We need sports to come back.
My goodness, man.
I think, you know,
what are we going to do for the next couple months?
Well, I would encourage people to listen to the interview with Chris May, which is up this morning. So he's the AD at SLU, and really interested to see how college basketball gets through this, man. I'm fascinated to see how this goes because in football, and I know we got to go, but in football, you have all these scholarship guys, right? Like Mizzou is going to be down potentially, talking with Chris Trevino this past week. They are down after suspensions, injuries, COVID guys, to like 60 to 61 players for their next game. Now,
I heard that they were like trying to get like people on campus that had like played high school football to just like put a uniform.
It wouldn't surprise me, but you know, think about what happens in college basketball. You got 15 guys. So you have COVID that runs through your team. or hits a couple of key players, you cannot replace some of these great players. It just can't be done. And I don't know how college basketball gets through that. I've often thought of this, Chris, and I don't know where you're at with this, and maybe we something to think about, but why not push back the college basketball season? Like, they're starting in late November, and we got games coming up, which, hey, granted, I think it's great. I'm happy for it. I want to see it as a fan. But as a
– started the day after the Super Bowl, which is that dead period.
And that's – that buys you a couple of months.
And go February to May.
And you still can get in everything that you're trying to get in. That's where I'm at with this. I'm not sure why they're not looking at it that way. But, again
– it's a good take.
Well, by all accounts, and I'm not, epidemiologist. I don't know what's going on. But what we hear, what we read is that by that point, you're talking about maybe getting through this hard wave that's hitting us again with the virus. Maybe there's some therapeutics, vaccines, things of that will calm things down, but you're buying yourself time is the main point.
I do think that perhaps an originally unintended positive consequence of this will be the recalibration of some of the schedules,
I do.
For the NBA, the NHL, college basketball. Yeah.
NBA is going to start because they need the money, and they're going to be out there by Christmas, I guarantee it now.
Who's watching college basketball on a Sunday afternoon in early December when there's NFL playoff race games going on?
Yeah,
right. Danny?
You're the best. All right, buddy. Thank you.
You are.
No, you are.